Thank you, choir, and good morning, congregation. Good to see you, and those who are joining us online, we welcome you as we are worshiping our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what's the greatest invitation that you've ever received? We get invitations of all kind to all kinds of events, birthday parties, pool parties, graduations, weddings, anniversary celebrations, backyard gatherings. But what's the greatest invitation you've ever received? A woman I know said her greatest invitation was her husband asking her to marry him. Just thought I'd throw that one in, you know. But I think one of my favorite invitations was to Billy Graham's 95th birthday party at the Grove Park Inn. Now, several of you were also there, but what made that invitation so wonderful was not the Grove Park Inn or the, you know, star-studded lineup of speakers, but it's that we were encouraged to invite neighbors of ours, which we did, and they then got to hear the gospel. That was, to me, that's a great invitation. Well, I'm sure that several of you have been invited to great gatherings, maybe even international ones. You've met dignitaries and, just a whole slew of great people and had great times. But whatever you consider your greatest invitation, the one before us tops them all. Jesus offers an invitation to the felt presence of God in our lives. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him present with us at the deepest level of our being. Let's look at this from John. We're breaking out of our Matthew series for a week, but we're in John chapter 7, 37 to 39. John 7, beginning verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus issues an invitation here. And notice, first of all, the promise of the invitation, the promise of it. Jesus promises rivers of living water. Not a drip, not a drop, not even just a cup. Rivers of living water. Now, some background to what's going on here. Jesus is at a festival in Jerusalem, the Feast of Booths. And this was a super fun gathering because, I mean, people came from all over Israel, and basically it was a camping festival, okay? People packed into the city, and they lived in these makeshift tents for a solid week. Can you imagine, you know, the fun of that, camping, and here's family and friends around, and you're around the campfire. It was a great, fun festival. And, of course, they were remembering Israel's 40-year wilderness journey when they came out of captivity in Egypt. Now, the details of actually what happened during the Feast of Booths, they're sparse, the details. But it seems that every day priests would go from the temple down to the pool of Siloam, get some water, bring it back to the temple, and pour it out at the base of the altar. So it would run, kind of symbolic, running out of the temple. This, again, was to remember how God had provided water for Israel in the wilderness so they didn't die. Remember Moses, you know, striking rocks and speaking to rocks and just water bursting out to satisfy thirsty Israel. Well, on the eighth day of the Feast of Booths, the great day, you know, that's the identifier here, the great day, Jesus does something. But the great day, and there's interesting just in reading about what happened to make it the great day. And again, details are a little sketchy. Some think that, well, there was this water ceremony for 7 days, and then there was no water ceremony. So that's what made it great. And they just poured out their prayers to the Lord to, you know, send rain and stuff. Others think that this water ceremony was pumped up even more. They brought more water and poured it. So we don't really know, but it is the great day. And on this day, Jesus stands and cries out, no little voice here, This is not in some private corner of the temple. He positions himself prominently to be heard by a maximum number of people. And he shouts out this invitation to receive rivers of living water. And it's not come to the temple, it's come to me. Verse 39 tells us that Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Well, Jesus has been glorified now. He died, he rose again. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecost celebrates, the giving of the Holy Spirit. But what are these rivers? You know, why is the Holy Spirit associated with rivers of living water and flowing not from the temple now, but from where? Our hearts. I mean, flowing obviously from Jesus, but from our hearts. Well, there's another background to rivers of living water, and it's in Ezekiel 47. We don't have time to read the first 13 verses. Take some time today, but water, you know, Ezekiel's getting a tour of the temple, and he sees water coming out from the threshold of the temple, and it begins to flow eastward. And as it flows, the water gets deeper and deeper. And first, it's ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep. Then it's deep enough to swim in. Finally, there's so much water flowing from the temple, it's an impassable river. And the water is flowing east toward the Dead Sea. And wherever the river flows, everything comes alive. It becomes fresh and alive. The Dead Sea lives. Fish of every kind are suddenly found swimming in it. Trees of all kinds are along the riverbank, and they yield fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for healing. Well, that image is then picked up in the book of Revelation. That's what we're going to see flowing, this river of living water flowing down the center of the city, and the leaves, the trees, the fruit, and the leaves, and all that for our healing. Well, what is this symbolic of? This river of living water. It is symbolic of the very life of God in us. Not that we become divine, but the divine life of God is in us. He is present with us. And I love what Ezekiel 47:9, how it describes this. Ezekiel 47:9, everything will live where the river flows. Everything will live where the river flows. Well, connecting the river then of living water from Ezekiel to John 7, what we see here is that the Holy Spirit is this river, or he brings this river, but the river is what? It is the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ to us and to our world, that the dead may live. All our dead places, our dry places, our weary and worn out places, everything lives where the river flows because the Spirit brings Jesus to those places. The Spirit doesn't just bring information about Jesus. He brings Jesus, the felt presence of Jesus Christ, to the core of our beings. There is nothing like this. And experiencing Jesus Christ within His love, his life, his comfort, his empowering strength. There's nothing like it. The Holy Spirit brings in real time the guidance of Jesus with his wisdom, truth, and grace. The Holy Spirit helps us to taste and see how good the Lord is. This is what Jesus promises. And understand, Jesus is pretty enthusiastic about this. I mean, this is why he stands and shouts. He's not playing with us. He's not trying to fool us. He's offering truly the invitation of a lifetime, and he is pumped up about it. My life in you. Everything lives where the Spirit flows. Nothing better than this. But to whom does Jesus make this promise? Well, notice secondly, the broadness and yet narrowness of the invitation. First, it's broadness. If anyone thirsts, anyone, not the few, the proud, you know, the spiritually elite, Those who have their act together. No, anyone, young, old, male, female, those spiritually with it and spiritual failures. I mean, if you're here stumbling in your faith, you feel like an absolute zero, this promise is for you. It's for every one of us. We're all on the Jesus invitation list. But notice the qualifier here that narrows the invitation. If anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. See, we have to admit our thirst and come to Jesus with it. In other words, we have to bring him our need. You know, to be thirsty is to be needy. It's to be dry, it's to be empty. We don't have our act together. We might even be a mess. And Jesus says, bring it to me. You know, what are you thirsty for? Love, acceptance, forgiveness, maybe shedding shame. Thirsty for inclusion or purpose? I mean, admit your need. Bring that thirst to Jesus. You know, coming to Jesus with our need means that we give up trying to satisfy our thirst on our own through other sources that do not ultimately satisfy. Heard a story of a man who was visiting Europe and taking a tour of castles. And in one castle, there was a dungeon in the basement of the castle. And the only source of water in the dungeon was a tiny trickle that ran down the rock wall of the dungeon. And through the centuries, prisoners licking the rock had worn a groove into it, trying to satisfy their thirst. Well, what a picture of us in our modern day dungeons where we have everything we need and still we are not satisfied. Yet here we are licking stone walls dry looking for life. Why do we settle for a bare trickle existence when Jesus is offering rivers of living water? His life in us, not a drip, a drop, rivers. We need to get in touch with our thirst. And as the Sprite commercial of old goes, obey your thirst. Let your thirst drive you to Jesus. Anyone who thirsts, come to me, he says. But how exactly does this work? You know, we want to accept the invitation, okay, but what does it really look like to come to Jesus and to drink from him? Well, it's not a work that we produce. Jesus doesn't say, go do for me. He says, come to me. It's not, go get busy for me, and after you've done enough, then you'll get water. You know, I think our frantic busyness, it is such a deception, and it's killing us, church. I think our busyness is a block to the Holy Spirit and this river of living water in us. I think Billy Graham was the one who said that if the Holy Spirit were removed from the church, 95% of what we do would go on unfazed. That's an indictment. Jesus said earlier in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Now, that doesn't mean the flesh does nothing. We just sit around, you know, waiting. No, we do a lot of things. We're called to obedience. We're called to set things in place. But the point is, where do we put the emphasis? Where do we put our hope? You know, we often in our prayers say, you know, I've done all this. Lord, bless this, rather than fill me. You know, we can mistake our own busy energy for the energy of the Spirit. You know, there's a buzz we get from busyness, isn't there? We work hard, we plan hard, we put money in place, we put the right people in place. And we think, wow, we got something good. Man, God can use this. And it ends up just being flesh. Because we're depending more on that than we are on the Spirit of God to bring life. It's the buzz of busyness The Spirit fills what is empty in us, not what is full. The Spirit flows through an empty channel, not something that's already filled with human doing and ingenuity. See, it's everywhere the Spirit flows, that's where life happens. What does it, again, look like to come to Jesus and to drink and to have the Spirit working in us? Well, notice verse 38. Jesus ties drinking to believing. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, drinking and believing really are the same thing here. And I love this image. To believe means to receive something, to drink it in, to delight in it, and then let it shape how we live. Imagine coming in on a hot day. You're parched, and you get an ice-cold glass of water. And what do? Well, you believe. Okay, you drink it down. You take it inside yourself. You delight in it. Ah, that tastes so good. And then you let it work to cool you, refresh you, re-energize you. Well, what are you thirsty for today? You thirsty for acceptance? I mean, there are precious few non-accusing places to stand in this world today. This world is just so enraged. It's an enraged accuser, and so much of our feeling unworthy and unaccepted is that we're constantly being told we do not measure up. So where can we go? To Jesus? Come, believe, drink down what Jesus says, delight in it, and let the Holy Spirit make it real to you to then live out of it. And what can you drink down if you're thirsty for acceptance? Well, how about what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, which is, we find that in John 8. Neither do I accuse you. Can you receive that? Can you hear Jesus saying to you, neither do I accuse you? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a river of life, knowing the felt presence of Jesus accepting us. Neither do I accuse you. Perhaps you're thirsty to be valued. You know, politicians value us for what? Our vote. Bosses value us for our productivity. People can value us for what we give or do, but who values us just for us? Loves us for who we are. I think a lot of us secretly have this thought that if you really knew me, you would not love me. But is there anyone who ultimately would? Yes, Jesus. Come to Jesus. Drink in. Delight in his word and work in you. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us before him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through his son, adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. If you believe that, boy, let that in and allow the Holy Spirit to make this real to you, that before the foundation of the world, before you ever were or did a single thing, the Father himself valued you, loved you, chose to set you apart for himself as a son. What a river of life, knowing the felt presence of Jesus and the Father valuing us. But what if I'm not thirsty for those, Bible things, like love and acceptance, meaning or purpose, What if I'm just thirsty for pleasure? Well, then come to Jesus. And drink in, delight in, let the Holy Spirit make real to you that pleasure, real pleasure, is only in him. Psalm 16:11, make me know the path of life in your presence. Let me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I mean, what a river of life that is. Knowing the felt presence of Jesus who brings full joy to us and forever pleasures before him. Okay, but what if I'm thirsty for wealth Again, come to Jesus and let him inform you about real wealth. I mean, part of the danger of it, you know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? But Romans 8:17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Boy, take that in, drink that down, delight in this, and let the Holy Spirit make it real. The river of life, you are a child of God, and you're going to inherit everything Jesus does. Scriptures tell us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all that's going to Jesus. And in Jesus, and with Jesus, this way is your inheritance as well. Talk about being fabulously wealthy. What are you thirsty for? You know, Pentecost has come. Jesus has been glorified, and he has sent the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus. Drink of Jesus. He will satisfy our thirst. And this is not, you know, some mechanical thing. It's personal. This is not something you do. It is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Give yourself permission to believe Jesus. You move all the chips of your life over to Jesus. Come, drink, believe the truth of who he is and what he's done for you. Because in doing so, the Holy Spirit will cause rivers of living water, that is the abundant life of Jesus, to flow from your heart. His love, his joy, his peace, his comfort, his assurance, his strength. You will be refreshed and others will also. Notice, you don't become some stagnant pool. Water flows from your heart now and flows out toward others. We're simply channels to bring the Spirit, bring the life of Jesus to others. You know, this is the greatest invitation that you and I will ever receive. It is an invitation to the felt presence of the living Lord. Everything lives where the river goes. Everything lives where the Spirit goes. Come, bring your thirst to Jesus and drink. Amen.